Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Vredestein Penza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension. Just to name a few, go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code J-O-H-N, JOHN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Happy weekend, everybody. John Middlecoff here, Three and Out Podcast. That is what you're listening to. This is the best of, where we combine some of the top things that we talked about this week, put it together in a little weekend podcast. For your listening pleasure. And this week, I did a wide receiver breakdown of the top three guys, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and also on the pass rushers, Dallas Turner of Alabama, Latu Latu of UCLA, and Jared Verse of Florida State. I mean, all six guys, three wide receivers, probably going give or take in the top 10. All the pass rushers will surely be gone by, I mean, that group, I would say somewhere between 16 to 19. So these are six of the top, you know, 20 players in the draft. And Belichick, because he is a hot-button topic. Him and Kraft are at each other's throats through the media. And I kind of dove in why I think he needs to go to do something specific in TV to help change the discourse around the hoodie. So that will be the show for the weekend, and obviously we'll be back next week, full draft coverage. Field Yates, I think, to start the week on Monday. We will have a mock draft on Wednesday, and then wall-to-wall draft coverage, well, at least Thursday, Friday. We're not breaking down six-round picks, but on Thursday and Friday, we will have a lot of content flying on the podcast feed as well as the YouTube feed. So keep an eye and a lookout for that. But before we dive into some football, got to tell you about my close personal friends at Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now. Fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can buy a ticket to anything. Concerts. I was just looking at them the other day, thinking about going to a concert at the end of the month. comedy shows, obviously sporting events, college or pro. You want to go to one of these NBA playoff games? You want to go to any of these NHL playoff games? You want to go to a baseball game? They got you covered. Just download the Game Time app, the official ticketing app of this here podcast, and use the promo code John, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, promo code John. Save $20 when you buy your first pair of tickets. Let's look at the wide receiver scouting report for the top three guys. Obviously, there are other wide receivers, and we will dive into them once they're getting drafted. But we play the hits here. Like, we're not out thinking the room. Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. For me, and I say this all the time when it comes to the draft, if you're drafting really high, there is no guarantee. There just isn't. There is no such thing as a high floor. We see guys fail all the time. Great athletes, average athletes, the try hard. We've seen every type of player not live up to the billing and be quote-unquote a bust or underwhelming that is drafted in the top 10. So to me, I never have a problem with someone stepping in the batter's box and swinging for a home run. That's why, for me, Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver prospect in this draft. He has the best opportunity, if everything goes right, to be a superstar. Now, there are some questions. I know a lot of teams, I don't know all the details. There are off-the-field questions, I'll put it at that. Nothing crazy, but stuff that concerns teams. The type of stuff that media is like, oh, this is not fair. Bullshit. When I'm drafting a guy high and I have any question marks about the person, it's okay to be leery. It's okay to be like, yeah, I don't feel great. Right? You don't always know about this stuff, but they exist. So assuming that he's going to be okay, be a good worker, be a good guy, not get in any trouble, to me, he's the best prospect. You get a guy that's 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, and runs as fast as he does. But we've seen that player before. Guys that run 4.3s and then they can't play in the NFL. This guy has elite ball skills. This guy's ability to track the ball in the air. Just watch some of his YouTube highlights. One skill that is very underrated in the NFL as a wide receiver is shooting your hands up last second. Why? Because when you are going up against a good defensive back, the moment you start putting your hands up, he reacts. They're very instinctive that way. But if you don't break stride till the last possible second, it's what Randy Moss did at the highest level we've ever seen, and you're that fast, the DB is at a huge, huge disadvantage. And he does this at a pretty elite level. Now, there are some physical question marks with him. Play strength. I think sometimes off the line of scrimmage, and he's going to get more press corners as he gets to the NFL, bigger, stronger guys. You know, can he get off the line? Can he separate, you know, using his power, which some people would say he doesn't have that much of. But in terms of high-end speed, route-running ability, and ability to move the needle down the field, like, I mean, I don't want to say he's an A+, but it's really, really high-end. And there are some question marks, but I'm just talking strictly as a prospect. He easily has the highest ceiling of this bunch. So to me, he's the number one guy. And obviously, a guy that's been near the top of any draft board since he played that Rose Bowl as a true freshman. Remember, Marvin Harrison did not start. They had Olave. They had Garrett Wilson. They had Jackson Smith. Like, he was the fourth or fifth wide receiver on the team. Now, granted, he was 18 years old. And until those guys opted out in the Rose Bowl, and he played, I'm pretty sure he had 3 touchdowns in that game. In the next 2 years, he dominated. Now, as I've said, like, we don't have any testing numbers. We know he's 6'3", 210 pounds. The lineage he comes from, I mean, his dad's one of the great wide receivers the last 25 years. He is a fantastic prospect. I mean, he does everything well. He's big. He can run every route, catch the ball in traffic. I'd say the one thing is he's super dynamic with the ball in his hands. You know, he's not exactly like Debo or Jamar Chase, but in terms of getting open, which is the most important thing, I think it's borderline impossible. And listen, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit for this guy not to be good. Because these type players translate well in the NFL. Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen. I'm not saying they're all similar players. The ability to get open whenever you have to. That matters. So to me, Marvin Harrison is the safest of these guys. We've seen him at a super high level for a long period of time, and he does everything well. Usually those guys play well in the NFL. Now, all these guys, because of their position, they're very, very dependent on two people, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. So whoever is scheming your offense and throwing you the ball. We saw Larry Fitzgerald for a lot of years with shitty coaches and shitty quarterbacks. He's at a disadvantage. We saw Randy Moss go to Oakland, disaster. Traded to New England, greatest wide receiver of all time. So where you go matters. And some of these teams that we're mocking them to, could the Cardinals get one of these guys? Kyler Murray, I think the guy would be good. Could the Chargers take one of these guys? Justin Herbert, they would be really good. Even if the Bears are able to get one of these guys. Caleb Williams, assuming he's just solid, they should be good. Especially because he's got two other wide receivers to play with. You tell me the Giants take Neighbors or Harrison? I could see him having an underwhelming year. Not because they're not talented, because who's fucking throwing you the football? To me, the most intriguing of this group, though, and I would have him third after watching the three of them, would be Rome Odunze. But I don't think there's a big gap. I don't think there's a big gap at all. Like Harrison, he's big. 6'3", 212 pounds. I remember when I was at the Combine, one of my buddies who's a wide receiver coach on a team, who definitely would be in the mix if they could to take one of these guys, had just interviewed him that day in their like interview room. And he fucking loved him. He's like, he walks in the room. You underestimate his size, right? It's because you watch him on film or you just watch his YouTube highlights. He's big, but he doesn't look massive. He's like, I felt like he was really, really big. And he dominated this year. He had 81 catches, 1,500 yards, and 13 touchdowns. I mean, punked people constantly. There's a clip of him returning a punt to the house against Cal. So I think a lot of people would say, well, he's not quite the athlete of these other two guys. He ran a 4.4, 4.45, and he has punt returned in his past. His ability in contested areas is elite. I mean, awesome. Mossing guys, back shoulder throws. But he played with, you know, an NFL quarterback. So you put him, like I said, if the Giants were to draft him, it could be a struggle. Now, one thing with him, a lot like Harrison, is red zone. When you're 6'3", you have an advantage in the red zone. Because you're going to go up against some corners. Even if you're a big corner, I got you by a couple inches. And there are going to be some corners that are 5'11". So if I'm a big-time athlete, and this is what Neighbors has, while he's shorter, he jumps 42 inches. So all these guys can get high in the air. You don't have to make a perfect pass. You just put it into their vicinity. That's why tight ends are so valued. Because their catch radius is so big because of their size. So I think Rome is a big-time prospect. I do think when the dust settles, he'll end up being the third wide receiver. And there's a pretty good chance, like, I'm wrong, Marvin goes first. But like all these guys, if they go to the right spot, should be high-end wide receivers. Should be guys, no doubt about it, get second contracts from their team. And their production at the highest level. Sometimes it scares me with a wide receiver when they're coming from, I would say, middling programs or questionable competition. Like, we have seen all these guys under the brightest lights. LSU, think about who they play in that division. Obviously, Marvin at Ohio State. In Rome, these last 2 years, Washington's lost like two games. They played everybody. And I mean, two of the better teams, obviously Michigan was the best team. He played Oregon twice this year and he destroyed them. I mean, destroyed them. And they always have good defensive backs. So I think these three guys, this is a pretty special class because you're getting blue chip guys from blue chip programs that dominated for years. Like there aren't really questions. Like it's not like none of these guys are 1 year wonders. Now, Malik by far had his best year this year. He had 89 catches, 1,600 yards, and 14 touchdowns. But his quarterback was a lot better. Let's face it, one of the questions with Jaden Daniels is like, yeah, you watch him in 2022, he wasn't going to be a top 100 pick. And then he starts playing like a top 5 player, you're going to be better. Rome has been much better over a 2 year span, and same thing with Malik Neighbors. I mean, 2 years ago, Marvin Harrison's playing with CJ Stroud, who's arguably a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Rome's had Michael Penix for 2 years. So these three guys, cream of the crop. very, very fascinated to watch, you know, kind of how it breaks for them. And if you were in these guys' shoes, like if you're one of their agents or kind of on their quote-unquote team, where you go matters so much in the NFL. Who your offensive coordinator is, who your quarterback. And luckily, because of the way this draft is, some teams that need wide receivers high that already have quarterbacks. We can nitpick Kyler Murray. He's way better than over half the league. Justin Herbert, we can argue whether he's a top five quarterback. He's a lock top eight quarterback. And with Harbaugh, I think we all agree he's going to be better. So you want to go to one of those spots badly. Or the Bears to decide to not go D-line or I don't know what, tight end or whatever, and take you. You want to go to Chicago, which is crazy to say. You never would have said that for years.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Usually in a draft, no matter how many good quarterbacks and how many good offensive either wide receivers or tackles are in it, we see several defensive linemen, specifically defensive ends, go really high. I would say most drafts have a pass rusher going in the top five. Several have multiple. There's a chance in this draft that there is not one pass rusher that goes. And if that does play out that way, that's insane. But it's also reflective of the group. Now, part of it is if four quarterbacks go one, you know, in the top five, that pushes guys down. But still, if a high-end pass rusher is on the board, usually they trump every other position, including tackle. You could make the argument that they are equal, like quarterback's number one, and then like 2A and 2B are either offensive tackle or pass rusher offensive tackle. But there's a good chance that like two or three offensive tackles go in the top 10 and not one pass rusher. Now, Atlanta is the wild card. They have not had a good pass rusher since Jonathan Abram. Their defense as a, you know, the front four has just not been very good beside Grady Jarrett, right? They have had no edge pressure. And anytime that you force a need in a draft beside quarterback, especially when a guy probably shouldn't get drafted in that spot, it can get a little dicey. And historically, sometimes with these pass rushers, guys get drafted with limited production. Think about last year, the Raiders. I think Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. A couple years ago, the dude Trent Baalke took number one overall over Aiden Hutchinson, all on measurables, and we're going to teach him how to play. Those picks are always really risky. Because you go, his ceiling is much higher than Aiden Hutchinson. It's like, yeah, just take Aiden Hutchinson. He's going to be a really good player. But I understand it because you get around these guys. Anyone that's ever been around an NFL defensive lineman, especially a high-end guy, and I've been lucky enough to be on the sideline at a lot of games, it is when you see the big blue-chip bodies, you're like, there just aren't many human beings like this walking around. I remember the Bengals in their heyday with Marvin Lewis. Their defensive line was huge. When I was with the Eagles and we'd play the Giants every year, their defensive line was massive. They didn't do small people, right? It was like big blue chippers. And hell, when I was with the Eagles, they took JPP and it was a big projection. My last year in the league, Ziggy Ansah, whose career got derailed by injuries, but it was a big projection. But the physical attributes were elite. You just don't find many guys that size, with that strength, with that athleticism. So there's a fine balance. And I say it all the time in a draft. You have to balance like how good the guy is now and how good the guy is going to be in 3 years. And that's where a lot of pressure comes on coaching staffs, a lot of pressure's on the scheme that you run, right? It's like with any young person. If I hire a guy at 22, hopefully when he's 25, he's going to be a lot more valuable to my company or in his role, you know, over the course of time, with experience, with reps, with teaching. And it's part of life. So it's a very, very, you know, difficult balance to strike. When you get a Nick Bosa or a Myles Garrett, they're kind of no-brainers. You go, this guy's going to be fucking good. Like, this guy, he could play any team in the league, and he's going to be a high-end player. Those guys are, I would say, few and far between. Most guys in a draft room are not Marvin Harrison. Like, not many flaws. Going to be a good player. Most guys you have long discussions about. And this group, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Latu Latu, is one of those groups. Let's start with Dallas Turner. You know, in a draft room, when you're discussing a player, you talk about everything. His background, where he comes from, his role with the team in terms of team captain, leadership. This guy was a blue-chip five-star player. He started immediately at Alabama. That is not easy to do, obviously. And he was overshadowed his first couple years by Will Anderson, who the Texans traded a first-round pick to trade up for. Now, I don't know if Will Anderson's ever going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be on that team for a decade. He is a really, really good player. And the knock on Dallas Turner is he is an elite athlete. Not a good athlete, an elite athlete. He's 6'3", 250 pounds. He ran a 4.46. There are wide receivers in this draft that did not run that. His vertical leap was over 40 inches. That is remarkable. His broad jump, his standing broad jumps, where you stand on 2 feet and just jump as far as you can landing on 2 feet, was 10 feet 7 inches, which I'd say anything over 10 for a defensive lineman is eye-opening. So his athletic measurables are elite. Like, they just don't get any better than that. Here's the problem. Talking to people in the NFL is like, listen, no one disputes he is a speed rusher. Power is not his thing. He's not bull rushing guys. He's not great against the run. And I've always said this, like, listen, if you are an elite speed rusher, I can live with some average run play, get shoved around a little bit. But I don't love taking that guy in the top 10. Jim Washburn, one of the famous defensive line coaches, and actually it was Howard Mudd, RIP, who passed away several years ago in a motorcycle accident. Many people consider him the best, if not the best, one of the best, right there with Dante Scarnecchia, offensive line coaches of all time. I'll never forget being in his office around draft time, and he had the thought of, like, when you watch a power player, whether it's a guard, whether it's a defensive tackle, because we talk about, like, you can improve your strength in the NFL. He's like, your strength is kind of your strength. You can improve, like, your bench numbers with time or squat an extra 100 pounds over the course of the next 5 years. But your play strength, in his experience, and by the time I met him, he was like 70 years old and been around football forever, like, doesn't really change. I've always thought that. So when you go, this guy can improve his strength, I would never go off that. Your strength's kind of your strength. Khalil Mack was strong as hell, at 22 years old. He's strong now, right? You usually don't see guys as defensive linemen that aren't strong get really powerful. Dee Ford is a good example. I know his career was derailed with injuries, but speed pass rusher was never strong, never got strong. So the thing with Dallas Turner, speed rusher, strength a major issue. And as a speed rusher to be quote-unquote drafted in the top 10, his production's good, right? Two of his 3 years, he had a combined 20 sacks. So he gets to the quarterback. Because Jim Washburn's thing was, I don't like projecting sacks or projecting pressures. You either know how to get around and to the quarterback or you don't once you get to the pros. Most guys aren't like no sacks in college and then all of a sudden become double-digit sack guys in college or in the pros. So this guy has been around the quarterback a lot. Here's the problem. When you talk to people that have really evaluated him, it's like he should have had like 17 sacks. Something's just missing a little bit. He gets close, turns the corner, and just doesn't get home. And for a guy with these athletic attributes, you think he would have like set a sack record, especially playing on that unit. But he didn't. And even last year, if I wanted to go, well, he was overshadowed by Will Anderson. Well, we all agreed Will Anderson was the best defensive player in the country. You would think it would make it a little easier for you. So I think there are... No one argues this guy's not a good prospect. Not a top 20, 15 prospect. I think once you start talking eight to the Atlanta Falcons, people go, it's pretty risky. Now, you know where I stand. You get in the batter's box high in the draft and you swing for the fences. Right? And this is not one of those guys like last year the Raiders taking Tyree Wilson seventh overall when his production wasn't really there and it was all in the athletic attributes. That's risky. Doesn't mean he's not going to turn out to be a good player, but you're betting on a lot of unknown. Like you know this guy can turn the corner. But can he ever be like a high-end Pro Bowl guy? I know a lot of people that don't think he can. I just know when I look at these numbers and you look at his production, you go, it's a risk worth taking. So a lot of people are mocking Dallas Turner to the Falcons, who are in desperate need of any sort of edge rush. And I don't think it'd be a crazy pick. Risky, 100%. But am I taking him much higher upside than, say, Jared Verse? I would. Especially team captain, Alabama, high-end guy. The one thing when you get the high-end focus guys at Alabama, like, they ain't fucking around. Like, Will Anderson's serious as a heart attack. So every ounce of talent they have, they maximize. And this guy has talent jumping out in spades. 4.46, 40-inch vertical. He's 250 pounds. But his strength is, you can't expect that to change. Because the reality is, it's not going to change. Like, strength is always going to be something he deals with. But it's 2024. If this was 1988, and every team was running the ball 35 times a game, yeah, it'd be a problem. Teams pass nonstop. It's a passing league. And a lot of teams pass it a shitload. So you're not facing Kyle Shanahan every week. So I think that has to play into the equation. And I would say that the mock and everyone put him to Atlanta, you would have to imagine that he is in play there. Verse is an interesting guy. Because in these draft rooms, like I said, you talk about their background. And in the transfer portal days, a lot of guys move teams. And like, a guy goes from Fresno State to Oregon, right? Or Boise State to Oklahoma. Happens all the time now. You go, you know, a little under-recruited, grew into his body, things change, and this is a guy that put on a bunch of weight, changed positions, and whatever, transferred to Florida State, which has been one of the better programs in the country the last 2 years. I mean, this year, when their quarterback went down, they were going to the playoffs. I mean, they were not just one of the best teams in the country, they were one of the best defenses in the country, and this guy was their best player. The concerning part is anytime you come like kind of out of nowhere, it just, there is something to be said about guys that are blue chippers. Now that can also lead you astray. Some guys get drafted in the second round and they've never been good in college just because, well, five-star recruit, underwhelming, but he has all the physical characteristics. So I'm not saying that's the end all be all. Starts at a small school, goes to Florida State and dominates. I mean, dominates. So you go, okay, whatever. Weird situation, Albany, Division 10 school, whatever. He is you know, he's 6'3", 260-ish pounds, and texting around, I was like, you know, is this kind of like Brandon Graham? Is that because he's a power rusher. Dallas Turner, speed off the edge, right? I beat you, I bend, I get to the corner, and you can't keep up with my speed. This guy, much more in the mold of bull rush you, shove your ass back into the quarterback, which power guys are a little riskier because not all power translates, but when it does, Clowney, Mack, like strength is strength, and this guy's a powerful player. The one comp I kind of got from a couple people was much closer to like a Rashawn Gary, a Kayvon Thibodeau, right? Not bendy, a little stiffer, but the power is going to work. High-end character guy, hard worker, you feel good about. Those type guys, like Kayvon's a good example. He's a good player. He's a starting, really good starter. Is he ever going to be some blue chip Pro Bowler? Like, I don't know. Best case scenario, makes a couple. And I know people are like, Pro Bowl, what does that even mean? You know what I mean. Like, a really, really high-end player. Maybe this year because his talent around him is better. We'll see. A lot of pressure on him. This guy's not viewed as a top 10 pick. But if I get Rashawn Gary or Kayvon Thibodeau, to me, this guy, would you rather have Dallas Turner and take the risk at 8 or get this guy at like pick 16? And I think this guy is one of the more intriguing prospects in the NFL because all the teams in the teens go, that's pretty good value there, right? If I get Rashawn Gary at pick 16, like that's a really good pick. And here's the, I say this all the time too. I'm like, I'm a hypocrite because who are we comparing them all to? Like good players. Some guys just, what if he's Solomon Thomas? What if he's Cleveland Farrell? Right? That's the hard part about these type guys. They're athletic. He's a good athlete. He ran a 4.5. But the power game, the try hard is, that's doing him a disservice by saying that. But plays with a lot of effort and power can be tough. When those guys pop, it really pops. But when it doesn't really pop, you just get a solid player. Now, the good thing is, and we say this all the time about non-quarterbacks, even if he never becomes a Pro Bowler, he still plays 25-30 snaps a game. So he can become a winning player, which he definitely was in college. But I think this guy is clearly viewed as a guy in the mid-teens. Now, I think a guy viewed pretty consistently as the best pass rusher is the guy from UCLA, Latu Latu. Here's the problem. There is a massive medical red flag on the guy. He started at the University of Washington and had a neck injury, and for a brief second, medically retired. Then he got surgery, he was cleared, and he played at UCLA. In the last 2 years, he had 23 sacks. He was arguably the most productive pass rusher in all of Power 5, and he was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And he's kind of got it all. Lance Zuerlein, who I trust, who's evaluated these guys for decades, compared him to TJ Watt. The power, the speed, the technique, like that's one of his things. He's a technician. He's just a natural pass rusher. He's one of those guys, Jim Washburn would say, this guy is fucking born to get to the quarterback. And he knows how to do it, and he's proven it. The problem is when you have a huge medical red flag, fair or not, because you go, well, he's not only been cleared, he's been productive and played the last couple years. And here's the thing about UCLA. You go, well, Chip Kelly, they're an offensive team. Their offense sucked last year. They've been a defensive team, especially last year. Anthony Lynn's son, who was their defensive coordinator, got hired at USC because he's a really good defensive coordinator. And this wasn't just their best defensive player. This guy was arguably the best defensive player in the country. I just know that medical red flag scares you. But this is, we talked to Mayock about this a couple weeks ago. Anytime a guy's been injured and had serious injuries, Michael Penix, you go, okay, he's got medical issues. But then once you go a couple years and don't miss games and show your durability, are you then a medical red flag? And this is where the doctors get involved, right? Because they give their opinions. And GMs and coaches, they don't have medical degrees, right? They have coaching and personnel degrees. That's what they do for a living. So when these guys come in and go, God, you know, there's a 50-50 chance that thing comes back to fruition and we got a problem, especially in the trenches, the game is a lot softer now, right?
in terms of guys going across the middle, the big hits are out of the game. The trenches is the one area where it is still very violent and very physical, and where you're still able to get after it. And obviously, you use your head and collide a lot more than other places on the field. Now, on an island on the edge, I would say is a little less violent on a consistent basis than D tackles, guards, and centers, where they're so close to each other. But it is still something that isn't avoidable. Now, he's 6'5", 260 pounds. This guy is the tallest of the three and been the most productive. And unlike Verse, who was a transfer from a smaller school, this guy went to Washington under Chris Peterson at the time, which was a high-end program. So I don't know. I wouldn't call him Dallas Turner blue chip, but he was a high-end prospect. I think most people agree, if the medical didn't exist, if there weren't any questions on the neck, he would be the eighth overall pick. The Atlanta Falcons would pick him. And you could argue there's a 50-50 chance they pick him at eight. Just take the risk if their doctors sign off on it. So there is no Myles Garrett, Khalil Mack, or Nick Bosa in this class. But there are very, very intriguing prospects at this spot, which if you hit on this guy, becomes a $100 million player. So I understand, I'm okay with guys that aren't great against the run. I pay you to sack the quarterback. Would I like you to be able to kind of anchor down? Of course. But if I view you as a guy like, could Dallas Turner end up being a 13, 14 sack guy? I'm taking that risk, especially because medically he's a lot clearer than Latu. But if you tell me Latu and my doctor's like, yeah, we think everything's good now, I might take him. And I don't think anyone, whoever takes him, if he somehow falls in the draft and someone gets him in like the early 20s because of the medical red flags and teams are scared off, it could turn out to be one of the best picks in the draft. I saw a lot of scouting reports say, listen, other guys are going to go higher than this guy. This guy's the best pass rusher in the draft. Just like Michael Penix. If Michael Penix was 21 years old and had never been injured, he'd be a top five pick. But when you're older and you've been hurt, it rightfully so scares teams. But sometimes then guys are durable in the pros and you don't have issues, right? And then guys that have been durable in college get to the pros and they get injured again. So no one knows, right? So if you prove durability over your last couple years, I would lean that, like, I would take the chance the guy's going to be durable in the pros. But that's not usually how it works, and I would imagine Latu falls a little bit, and whoever gets him, like, if this guy falls to the late teens, there's going to be a team with 7, 8, 9 wins kind of in that range that's going to feel very, very good about their draft pick.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
One thing that has, you know, following these top teams and the messaging coming out of them that's been pretty interesting is the Bears never wavered, right? My mom could have told you they're taking Caleb Williams 3 months ago. Some people still like, I'd go with Justin Fields. Make it work. Give him a chance. And the Bears are like, yeah, we're sending him to the Steelers for a 6th-round pick. See ya. And the conversation, even for those little radicals that wanted Fields to somehow survive, were completely muted, and we all agreed, like, everyone knows. So we don't even talk about that much. There's nothing to talk about. Honestly, the only conversation with the Bears is what they're going to do with the 9th pick. But the messaging coming out, they don't even need to message. Caleb's taken one visit, and it was to Chicago. I mean, he's going to be a Chicago Bear. Now, once you get to 2, Adam Peters, I don't want to say has been as steadfast in terms of, like, the Bears left no doubt, but he has definitely let it be known, like, yeah, we're not really open for business. We feel pretty confident at this pick. Now, we don't exactly know who he's going to pick. Most people, and the betting odds would say Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't bet my life savings on it, but when people ask me and when I ask people, Jaden Daniels, everyone says Jaden Daniels. So I think it's fair to assume Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't like fall out of my chair if another name pops up next Thursday, but they're going to pick a quarterback, right? We know that. We just don't know exactly 100% sure who it's going to be. But the other teams have not been like that. Elliot Wolf said today, longtime executive, doesn't even have the GM title. Not quite sure what the Crafts are doing. Honestly, not quite sure. Just name the guy the fucking GM. I don't care if it's like, well, he actually has all the duties. Have the balls to name him the GM. I don't understand, separate from all the stuff with Bill and the production company, why are you guys being so weird with this? You have a first-time head coach. Just make Elliot Wolf the GM. Are you like giving him a year trial run? He said, we're open for business. And then it kind of hit me today. If I'm the Crafts, Jonathan and Bob, and I am getting destroyed locally. I mean destroyed. I have heard everywhere I look on the internet, Boston people. I played golf with a guy like 3 weeks ago from Boston. Everyone I've talked to or listened to say he's getting crushed. Because it's clear, like, listen, time to break up, whatever. You don't need to, like, piss on the guy's grave. Why are you trying to get all that? Why are you doing this? Well, what's the easiest way to make that negativity kind of be silenced? Because if they trade back, it's like, oh, they added 2 first-round picks and they got all these players. No one will care. No one gives a shit when you draft an offensive lineman until that guy becomes a star offensive lineman. But you take a quarterback, you take Drake May or you take J.J. McCarthy with the 3rd overall pick, we stop talking about how cheap the Crafts are, how shitty they've handled this situation, how just what egomaniac and control freaks they've become since Bill left. We just start talking about how good is J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or Jaden Daniels going to be on their team. Takes all the oxygen out of that conversation. So even if Elliot Wolf wanted to trade back, one, he has no equity with the franchise in terms of, you know, he's never made a pick before for them. 2, he's not even technically the general manager. And 3, if you're the Crafts, like, take whoever you like the most at that position right there. We want you to do that. Bill might say, yeah, we're not doing that. And Bill would have traded back. Bill would have done whatever he wanted to do. Elliot Wolf can't. He just won't be allowed to. So even if the front office and the coaching staff was like, you know, given our roster, like, let's take a deep breath. I don't even think it will be an option because the ownership will never allow it because it's the easiest way to have everyone stop talking about how poorly they've handled everything. The Giants. You know, Rich Eisen said,
I see all his clips on YouTube. I think he's got a radio show, TV show. Not exactly sure what it is, but I follow his stuff on YouTube. And one thing he said, like less than a week, maybe a couple days after the combine, obviously he's there for a week calling it with DJ, is that one of the main buzz scuttlebutt he had heard is how much the Giants had buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones, which everyone's like, yeah, no shit. And Joe Shane, today at the press conference, was basically asked about that, and he said none of it was true. Now, before I dive into my thoughts on this, I understand where he's sitting. Regardless how you actually feel, even if you're like, you know, I never actually wanted to sign this contract. I was forced to by the ownership. We were lukewarm on the guy. Even Daboll, like, we would have been cool with letting him test free agency. John Mara forced us on my hand. He can't say that. Even if he was on board with the signing and was like, listen, short-term deal, $80 million sounds a lot to 99.9% of people, NFL world, couple years, move on, no biggie. We don't really like him anymore. We'll find another quarterback. We plan on trading up in this draft. He can't say that either. So he's in a position where he can't really tell the truth. But let me tell the truth for him. They 100% ownership, coach, GM have buyer's remorse. If they could do it over, under no circumstances would they have signed that contract. I'm actually confident enough they wouldn't have signed him to any contract. They would have just let him walk. Information changes. You can love your wife or love your girlfriend, and then all of a sudden you found out she cheated on you with three different men. Changes the equation. You're in business with a partner. You're all making a lot of money. You're getting paid. And then you find out he's stealing. Your opinion of that individual changes. With more information, we think differently. Like, listen, they were bullish on Daniel Jones. First year, win some games. And now he's also injured. Like, obviously you don't know he's going to be injured, but sitting here today, he had a torn ACL. Played like shit, torn ACL. Makes a lot of money. Pretty bad combination. So this notion that they don't have buyer's remorse is just a bold-faced lie. It's just impossible for that not to be true. And there's nothing wrong. We all make poor decisions. All of us. I know I own a stock right now. It's an ETF, clean energy ETF. I've invested well over $100,000 into it. Right now, when I open up my account, it says about $40,000. Now, ultimately, big picture, I still believe in the space, but do I regret investing my money into that stock? Of course I do. I would much rather have put it into Netflix or put it into just anything else but that. Even if I, like, still, and I have more belief in that situation than I'm sure the Giants do, but why do I believed in it 2 years ago when it was working and going up. Things change. I never understand people who are so beholden to the way they thought a year ago, 3 years ago, 8 years ago. It's like it's 2024. April 18th, I'm recording this. We have the information up to this point. You might feel some way right now. Well, April 18th, 2027, if things dramatically change about whatever you're thinking about, you're probably not going to think that way anymore. I hope you wouldn't, because if you still did, you'd probably have some issues. You know, people ask me all the time, like, what are your career goals? Do you want to be on television? I don't know. I mean, is YouTube bigger than television right now? I'd say for most people I know, it is. You know, things change at dramatic speeds. I don't know. I'll just do whatever I have to do. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Wherever things are going, that's where you go. I saw a lot of people when I first got into radio. I was around so many of these newspaper guys. I saw a guy recently on X. It was like, the best advice for anyone in sports media still is to start at a newspaper. Unless I'm not into like talking shit on Twitter as much anymore. I don't care. It was the dumbest thing I'd ever read. I'm like, this guy's actually putting this out there. If this was 2001, maybe that's pretty good advice. It's 2024. That'd be the last thing I would advise to any young person. Unless it's like the Wall Street Journal. Do not fucking do that. So signing quarterbacks is complicated. Signing the great quarterbacks is relatively easy, even though it's complicated because of the amount of money. as in like Lamar Jackson. We all knew he was good, and it was still complicated, right? Patrick Mahomes was pretty easy. Josh Allen was pretty easy. Even the Herbert thing, like there's pressure for him to be a consistent top five quarterback. Trevor Lawrence has not been paid yet. Like we need to see a little more before we give you $180, $200 million. It's a big financial decision. So $80 million is not $200 million, but you could argue after 15 touchdowns they even deserve $80 million. But there is no way to spin it. They have buyer's remorse. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Another reason I can't wait till Thursday is Belichick will be on with McAfee. And I said this when Belichick didn't get the Atlanta Falcons job, that I think Belichick, one, the perception of him, let's face it, being a dictator, tough to work with. And let's face it, I don't necessarily agree with this because I think we all can be this way. Asshole, miserable, curmudgeon. And listen, some of it's definitely probably true. But that he just sucks, and he's not a head coach in the NFL. Now, maybe it's that he's 73 years old, maybe that he had to be the GM. I don't know. But it is nuts when you just look at the coaching picture that Bill Belichick is in there. He's been in the league since 1975. Like, I'm sorry, he kind of knows what he's doing. It's why I'm shorting the Patriots. I think they are going to be a debacle the next couple of years. Could be wrong, but if I had to place one strong bet, I feel the strongest on that. And I'd probably bet on Harbaugh and the Chargers being successful, right? Even everyone betting on the Bears, I wouldn't feel great about it. Their history would show it's still pretty risky. But I think you saw, if you go, and I would recommend this, because the Belichick we got forever in the press conferences, when he was wearing a hoodie, New England Patriot, or his classic like kind of blue button up, and he said nothing. And he was mostly pretty awful in those press conferences. Beside when he'd randomly get asked about a special team player, or he'd go on some long, you know, diatribe about how the winless, whatever team he was playing in December, actually has a lot of talent and everyone would make fun of him. He has a big personality. And I've been, you know people that have not only worked there, that have played there, and they're like, the guy that you see off camera
dealing with us is a lot different than the guy that you just see in the 15-minute snippets of the press conferences. It's why I was a big believer in the easiest way to change his perception. Now, maybe he's a lock to get a job next year. Maybe he's not. I mean, he just had his birthday. He's going to be 74 next year. I mean, I'm sorry. Even though coaches are definitely younger than the majority of like 74-year-olds, just because they spend most of their time around younger people, there's a vibe. Like Pete Carroll's the same age. They don't feel that old when you hear them talk. But I probably not a shoo-in is to find a way on the Amazon broadcast. He is too good to be on pregame shows. That's a waste. Reality is, I'm not watching that. And neither are most owners. Why? Their team is at a game. But there are two games that every owner watches. Every owner, beside the two playing in the game. That's Thursday night and Monday night. Even Sunday night, a lot of the league is traveling back and not able to watch the game. But every owner and every decision maker is at home on Thursday night and Monday night. Well, Monday night's set. They gave $150 million to Buck and Aikman. That was the right move. But Thursday night, let's face it, is not. I've said forever, Kirk Herbstreit's the stud. Love him on college football. I don't think he's that great. Him and Al don't have great chemistry. If I was Amazon, I would be all over Belichick and try to get him involved in that broadcast. And I also think Bill, like if you watch him on McAfee, like he's kind of a different guy. Now, I'm not saying he's Mr. Loosey Goosey. He's not Mr. Politician there, but he's very easy to watch. And his depth of knowledge is insane. Matt Rhule, who, listen, we can say what we want about Matt Rhule as the NFL coach. It was a debacle. He's a good college coach. I would imagine Nebraska over the next couple of years is going to be much more competitive. Are they ever going to be a playoff team? I don't know, but they are much more likely to win 8-9 games in the near future than they are to be some shit team in which they've been. Matt Rhule said that he had Bill come to their operation and spend a day with the coaches. He said, I don't know if he was in the front of the room, back of the room when he was talking. I don't know if he was talking to the entire group or just the defense, that Matt Rhule said he was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that I'm a head coach and I don't know a tenth of what this guy is talking about. That's how crazy how much this guy knows. The only way for Bill to give that to the ownership is to put it on display. And I just hope it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but I think that would have been the move. There was another story that came out today. I think there was a long, one of those classic Big J. Wickersham does a really good job, like the ESPN guys. Basically, one of the lines about Belichick and the hiring process and how he didn't get the Atlanta job and how it kind of ended in New England is that Bob and definitely Jonathan Kraft bad-mouthed him to Arthur Smith. Now, listen, anytime things end in football, in any business, with rich, big ego guys, it's going to be ugly. I've defended Bill. Like, I understand Robert Kraft. You can have any opinion you want. You figured out a way to start from nothing, make money, buy the team, and you hired Belichick. Jonathan Kraft inherited this entire life, which I'm not one of those people that like looks down on people just because they're born into a situation. Right. I've known a lot of people born in situations that are very capable. Right. I've known a lot of people not born in situations that aren't capable to fucking walk a dog across the street. So where you're born, like successful people can come from all walks of life. Peyton Manning was born rich. Steph Curry was born rich. There are going to be a lot of owners that, you know, take over in the NFL that are impressive guys that their fathers made the money. And then there are going to be guys that are kind of clowns. I don't blame Belichick for not respecting that guy. I'm not a big Jonathan Kraft guy, just from reading things about him, watching the documentary, that felt, you know, his dad's 80 plus years old, that it does feel a little bit like Jonathan Kraft has a vendetta against Belichick. And one of the things it said in there is he basically badmouthed Belichick to Arthur Smith to essentially not hire the guy. I would say this, the Patriot dynasty and their wealth, a large percentage of their name power has come from the success of the football team, which we know they had absolutely nothing to do with. They've even admitted, we never told Bill what to do. Even with Brady, the one time they kind of like, you got to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. But then they ended up a couple years later letting Brady walk anyway. They gave this guy carte blanche to be in full control. And he made that family name not only very famous, not only very successful, but an NFL champ with Tom over and over and over again. So if I'm Bill, like, and it's obviously just based on his coaching history, he can be very spiteful. He can be very petty. I would hate those guys, specifically the kid. I already didn't respect him. I would have a vendetta and a revenge of doing everything possible to get back in the league so I could play that guy again. Because the Patriots, I think the other day, tweeted out, "Happy birthday, Bill." It's like, guys, you guys are trying a little too hard.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.